All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, for the message this morning. Genesis, chapter 11. I preached from this passage of Scripture a couple of weeks ago, but I want to go back to it this morning. And the title of my sermon this morning is, The Battle is Raging. The battle is raging. So keep that title in mind as we read the Word of God and as I preach the message this morning. Beginning in the first verse, it says, And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. I want you to notice all the personal pronouns there. These are folks who said, we don't want the name of the Lord. We want our own name. We don't want God telling us what to do. We're going to do our own thing here. In verse 5, it says, And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one. One. You listening? The people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. All right, let's pray together. And in the message this morning is entitled, The Battle is Raging. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the eternal word of the living God. And Lord, we're thankful that your word is truth. Not one jot nor tittle of this word will fail until all be fulfilled. And Father, I pray this morning that you will bless as we look at this battle that is raging around us today. All we have to do is pick up a newspaper, turn on the news. All we have to do is simply go out in public and we can see the battle is raging. And Father, I pray that you will help us to understand the conflict this morning. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and enable me to say what I need to say. And Lord, I pray that you will also help each one of us as we listen, that Lord, we will not just hear with our ears, but we'll hear with our heart and realize this great conflict that's going on. And Lord, may we, once we understand it, once we see it, may we choose to serve the God of heaven. And Lord, if there is one person in this room that is not sure that they're going to heaven when they die, I pray that you'll speak to that heart today. And Lord, save that soul before it's eternally too late. Bless us, Lord. Give us a great time around the Word of God now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to listen very carefully to the message this morning. I'm not going to do a whole lot to make you listen. I've got a lot to say and only about 40 minutes to say it in, 35 minutes or so to say it in. So I'm going to need you to pay real close attention. I'll not use humor. I'll not use illustrations to try and give you a little break between thinking times, but I do have something to say this morning, and I want you to understand a very real principle, a very real fact, of something that is going on all around us. As long as sinful men have been on the planet, there have been those who have tried to ensnare, to conquer, to enslave, to usurp, and to take away the freedoms of others. We have seen this all through history. And if there's one thing people will fight for, it's freedom. The Lord Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." The Apostle Paul tells us that sin is binding. Sin will enslave you. And all we have to do is look around us and we see that's true. We would not have to have a reformers program if sin did not have the nature that it has, and it enslaves people and binds them in their sin. Today, we are living in a world that is in total upheaval. Our world today is in upheaval on every front. The battle is raging all across this world in which we live. The battle is raging against Islamic fundamentalism and those who would seek to destroy our way of life and conquer this country as well as the world for the false god Allah. The battle is raging on the economic front. We are seeing today in our nation these progressive liberals who are at the helm of our country and who are seeking to collapse our system of free markets and capitalism into a system of government-controlled socialism. And brethren, if you can't see that that's happening, I would beg you this morning to open up your eyes. We are in a raging battle, not only in our government, but we're in a raging battle of a religious nature. Any and every religious thought, theory, ism, and idea is gladly welcomed in our land. But don't you dare think for a minute that the gospel of Jesus Christ or that the Bible is welcome. It is not. You can pray, but you can't pray in Jesus' name. You can teach religion in school, but don't you dare teach Christianity. I mean, our country today, these liberals running our country today have done everything in their power to get the gospel and to get the Bible and to get Christianity out of our lives. Why is there such an effort to remove the Bible and Christianity and the gospel of Christ while the floodgates of every other spiritual avenue that is contrary to the Bible is welcome with open arms? Why is that? What is going on? A few years ago, when we were fighting the state about our Christian schools, there were some of us on the committee that were down in Annapolis for the mayor representing the Maryland Association of Christian Schools, and they were trying to license us. They were trying to get us to take a license to do what God called us to do. And I never forget that man taking a manual about that thick and pushing it towards me and saying, "Here is your new rules and regulations." And I shoved it back to him and I took my Bible and I said, "I don't need your rules and regulations. I got mine right here. Amen. These are my rules and regulations." And that led the conversation to the place where they were criticizing us for teaching the Bible and for having a biblical foundation upon everything we do. And they said, "You don't teach evolution." And I said, "Yeah, we do. We teach it as a great big lie. We teach creation by God as truth. And we use the Bible to do it." And so the conversation continued on. And one lady or one man said, if we start teaching the Bible as the ultimate truth, if we start teaching about God, we're going to have a war in our schools. And I said, ma'am, I don't know if you've noticed it yet, but you've got a war in your schools. And the reason you've got a war in your schools is because you took God and the God of the Bible, and you took the Bible out of the schools back in the 60s. And now you're fighting a war that you're not going to win. Who started this war over God? Where did this begin? I remind you what Brian read to you a moment ago in the reading. And by the way, he wrote that himself. I'm impressed. I don't know if you are, but I'm impressed. But he quoted the Constitution. And here's what our Constitution states. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Folks, the men who authored the founding document of our nation, the Constitution, believed in God as their Creator. For these many years now, we have witnessed an effort to try to remove that truth from our thinking. We have tried to get God out of the picture. Why do we see the struggle on all levels between those who believe in God and those who do not believe in God? Why is there such a thing as an atheist society? If there is no God, then why are you wasting your time, effort, and money to prove that there is no God? You see, it's greater than what any of us realize. There is a greater struggle. There is a greater battle going on than any of us realize. Why do we see the struggles on all levels brewing between pro-God conservatives and anti-God liberal progressives? We have a struggle regarding everything, from prayer in school to the abortion issue to God, to the existence of God, to the right to bear arms, to the Ten Commandments, and a whole array of other issues. We will always have struggles within, no matter what. We will always have wars. Right now in our land, you hear about the war on drugs. You hear about the war on poverty. You hear about the war on pollution. You hear about the war on racism. You hear about the war on God and against God. We also have a war of labels that we see daily in our society. A war on labels that we can see daily in the media. We tend to lump individuals into atheist or conservative or liberal or anarchist or socialist or communist or fascist, and the list is just endless. There will always be wars until the Prince of Peace comes and grants peace to this world. You mark it down, dear friend, there will be no peace. I know the cry is peace, peace, but there will be no peace until the Lord Jesus Christ returns and establishes his peace upon the world. And until that day comes, the battle is raging. We are seeing the battle rage in our lifetime. We are seeing the battle rage today, totally out of control. We're seeing the battle rage today, and it is fearful for a lot of folks. For a lot of people who have grown up in an America that was filled with God and filled with truth, we are now able to witness an America that has alienated God, that has made God taboo, and we are living in an America today that scares us. We are wondering what is going to happen to our great country. Well, there are a couple things that I want to tie together for you this morning, and I go to this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 11 to do that. I want you, first of all, to understand, now don't forget, the battle is raging. The battle is raging. And the first thing I want you to understand this morning is who are the principal players? Who are the principal players? Let me remind you that the Apostle Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, the Apostle Paul teaches us that the ultimate struggle is between God and Satan. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Folks, listen, I've tried to get this across. I've tried for years now to get you to see this. Your enemy is not another human being. Your enemy is not man. Your enemy is the devil. I have tried my best to get you to see that. Your enemy is not that person who has lied about you or who has said nasty things about you. Your enemy is not that person who has gossiped about you all over the county. Your enemy is not that person that has sought to hurt you. Your enemy, plain and simple, is the devil. Therefore, every time you expend your energy in trying to retaliate or defend yourself or fight against another person that you think is your enemy, you are just wasting your energy. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is the devil. And this struggle between God and the devil is where it all began. This is what the battle is all about. Let me tell you something, folks, your enemy is not Congress. Your enemy is not Barack Obama. Your enemy is not Joe Biden. Your enemy is not Nancy Pelosi. Your enemy is, well, it might be Nancy Pelosi. Let me think about that again. No, your enemy is not Nancy Pelosi. Your enemy is the devil. You see, folks, there is something bigger than us that is behind all that is going on. There is a battle that is raging. There is something far bigger than just conservative ideology and liberal ideology that is raging in this land. And the devil knows. Now listen to me, folks. The devil knows if he manipulates man against God, he is hurting God. The whole thing began when the devil said, I will ascend to the throne. And God said, oh no, you won't. And the devil was kicked out of heaven. And he, the devil, put his aim upon man who was created in the image of God. And the battle began in the Garden of Eden to destroy that which was created in the image of God. And the devil knows that if he can manipulate man and get man to do what he wants him to do, then he's hurting God in the process. And that is why there is such a battle being waged in our world today. False religion, false gods, false teaching, and all these different views of how to govern the nations. Folks, Satan has a multitude of tools in his arsenal that he uses to enslave and to deceive the hearts of men. And he's used the same playbook since the very beginning of time. And the sad thing is, the plays have always worked. They've always worked. And since the very beginning of time. Don't forget, Paul said that Satan is the god of this world. Don't forget that the Lord Jesus said one day that the devil is a liar. He is a murderer, and that he has been so from the beginning. From the beginning of time, Jesus said that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And that is ultimately the line of demarcation and the cause of the conflict. On one side, you've got God and the truth. On one side, you've got God and his word. On the other side, you've got Satan and his lie. What is a lie? It is nothing more than the absence of truth. And so on one side, you've got God and the truth. On the other side, you've got the devil and a lie. And make no mistake about it, the devil's lie takes on a multitude of different directions and looks and is constantly being advanced by the world, who has swallowed the lie without questioning it. So the question you need to ask yourself this morning, and that I hope you will ask yourself, is this: who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God, or are you going to believe the devil's lie? Will you believe God, or will you believe Satan? And it can all be viewed as just that simple. Can I remind you, King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived outside of our Savior, said, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And man must choose which God he's going to serve. Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Elijah said on Mount Carmel, when the prophets of Baal were standing before him and all the people were standing before him, and he looked at those folks and said, if God be God, then serve him. But if Baal be God, then serve him. The Lord Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You have to make up your mind who you're going to serve. And a wise man is that man who chooses God and chooses the God of the Bible as the one he puts his trust in. All right, so there are the principal players. You've got God and you've got the devil. The devil doing everything he can to hurt God, and he manipulates and he lies and he cheats and he distorts in order to impact men to disobey and to reject God. But now, secondly, let's go to the text and let me show you this conflict. The second thing I want you to see is this. I want us to look at who was God in Shinar. Who's God in Shinar? Here they are in verse 2, in the plain, in the land of Shinar. It was at this spot where the city of Babel was constructed. It was at this spot where eventually the empire of Babylon came out many years later. But it all started right there. It all began right there. I said a few weeks ago when I preached from this passage that this scripture is foundational for understanding why our world is like it is today. Now realize that when Noah and his family exited the ark, God told them to multiply and fill up the earth. But the devil, being the devil, did not want man to do what God commanded. Of course not. He's the devil. He did not want men to multiply and to fill up the earth. So the devil started his work. Now, folks, here is the foundational battle. Here's where you can read the devil's playbook. Right here is where you can see it. Here is the foundational battle over who is going to be God. The plain of Shinar is where the ancient civilization of Babylon had its beginning. And the people of the plain were led here by the master deceiver, by the ultimate liar, by Satan himself, to rebel against God's authority and God's command. We have here the biblical account. God said, scatter. God said, go out and fill up the earth. But they said, oh no, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. They did not want to bear the name of God. They did not want God over them. God said, scatter. They said, unify. God said, go. They said, stay. And so the plan was to build this city and to defy God. Now, this is foundational, folks. Now, here's an amazing thing. I want you to listen very carefully. We have here in the Bible God's record of this. Nod your head. You with me on that? Right here's God's record on this. This is foundational. Here is the foundational battle that is given. We have the biblical account. But you want to know something interesting? We also have man's account of this. You say, well, where's man's account? Man's account is written on tablets and has been found. Of course, nobody cares about this. Nobody cares. But there are some archaeologists who have the writings from that period of time etched on tablets. And they have the foundation of the tower of the Tower of Babel. They have the foundation, and they have studied the etchings that are in the foundation on the walls. So there is a document that is called the Emunah Elish that tells us about the religion of the men that built this tower, the men that rebelled against God in this 11th chapter. And in that document called the Emunah Elish, it talks about how their religion was connected to the moon. Connected to the moon. Are you listening to me? How their religion was connected to the moon. And they were building a tower in honor of the moon god, Nanaru, N-A-N-A-R-U, Nanaru. And that by building this tower, they would climb up the tower to get to the celestial ocean and reach their false god that they named Marduk, M-A-R-D-U-K, Marduk. Also on the base of the tower is written an inscription which has King Nebuchadnezzar's signature on it. Now, is it? I do not know. Is it real? I do not know. I've not seen it. But I'm telling you that it's reported, and you can look it up. It's reported that Nebuchadnezzar wrote this. And he says that the tower was built for the purpose of bringing man to heaven. And Nebuchadnezzar calls the tower of Bel, B-E-L, Bel Marduk. So, you say, Pastor, what's the point? I'm getting ready to make it. Look here. You've got the truth in Genesis 11. You've got the truth from what God tells us in the Bible. You've got God's word over here, and then you've got man's word over here. You've got the lie and those that believe the lie on this side. So right from Genesis chapter 11, we see the battle was on. And folks, just like it is today It was on then, Satan against God, Satan controlling men through lies and deception and deceit, and thus bringing the judgment hand of God upon them. But now notice the name Bel-Marduk. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. Listen very carefully. Who is this God? Who is Bel-Marduk? It is amazing. And folks, there is plenty of documented evidence to verify what I'm about to tell you. Bel eventually, over time, became Baal, B-A-A-L. Have you ever heard of that? Yes, you have, if you've read the Bible, and that's part of our problem. We don't read the Bible. But if you've ever read the Bible, you know that Baal is all through Israel's history. If you've read your Bible, can I remind you that when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, he had a showdown with the prophets of Baal. Now, here's what the documents throughout history reveal to us. Marduk, Bel-Marduk, eventually became the Baal of the Canaanites. B-A-A-L of the Canaanites. Marduk became known later throughout the Semitic world as Baal. Baal simply means Lord, and became the personification of the God of this world that was accepted and worshiped while Jehovah God was rejected and spurned. And folks, the battle started right here in Genesis 11. When God said go, they said no, and they tried to stand their ground. And God said, if you won't go of your own accord, I will force you to go. And God confounded the languages, and men had to scatter. They could not communicate. They had to scatter. Now, this Baal worship was the central figure of all the Old Testament's false religion. Baal worship became, it gripped the area. Now, think of this. You have the flood. Watch me carefully here now. You have the flood. Shortly after the flood, you have the people, what came out of Noah's descendants. You have the people coming to the plain of Shinar, and they stopped there, and they said, hey, this is a nice place to live. And they stopped. God said, scatter. They said, nope, we're not going to scatter. The devil comes along and starts planting seeds in their head. That's what the devil does. God said, go. They said, no. And so the Tower of Babel started. Now, watch. Here's the flood. Here's the Tower of Babel. Years after that, you've got Abraham born. Then you got Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And then you got the children of Israel down in Egypt. You've got God coming along and saying, Moses, bring my people out. Okay, well, where are we going? You're going to the land that I promised to Abraham, your father. So you got a lot of years that have passed here. You with me on this? They came out of Egypt by God delivering them through the blood on the doorpost, by God parting the Red Sea, walking over on dry ground, and then they got over into the wilderness, and God said to Moses, Moses, listen, when you get to Canaan, slay the Canaanites. Wow. That's pretty strong language, is it not? Slay the Canaanites? Why did God tell Moses to slaughter the Canaanites? Because, folks, when they got into Canaan, the Canaanites were worshipers of Baal. It was already there. Where did they get that? They got it all the way back from here. Yes, indeed. Now, God said, if you don't destroy them, they will destroy you. How did they do it? By infiltration. They did not destroy them physically. Baal works from the heart. The devil, through false religion, brought the nation down to the judgment hand of God. And by the way, folks, we need to understand this. There's just two deities, really. There's just two deities, God and God's adversary, the devil, who is represented by all the other false gods found in the world. Let me make it simple for you, folks. There are two religious sources. There's the Bible and there's Shinar. Yeah. And by the way, you're going to love this. I'll deal with it more in the weeks to come. I just found this evidence this week. And oh my goodness, listen. There is a ton of evidence to support the fact that in the Middle East, in the Semitic world, that Baal worship never died out. It never died out. And that in the 400s and 500s AD, there came along a fella whose name was Muhammad. And that Islam assimilated Baal worship, and that Islam came out of the religion that was founded at the Tower of Babel back 4,000 years ago. Isn't that fascinating? You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. I'm really glad you asked. That leads me to the third thing I want to say. Listen carefully. The world today is setting up for another Shinar showdown. The world today, we look at the mess our country is in. We look at the mess our world is in. Folks, let me tell you something. If you get it in your head, God, the devil, God and the devil, God and the devil, that's the battle. That's the struggle. That's the what the whole thing's about. It's not about liberals and conservatives. It's not about Democrats and Republicans. It's not about that. It's about God and the devil. It's that simple. This is bigger than us. Read your Bible. It's not about us. It's about God. And it's about who's going to be God. That's what it's all about. And we look at our world today and we look at the mess that our world's in. We look at the mess our country's in, and it scares us to death. I don't know how many people I've counseled in the last year, 2 years, that have come and said, Pastor, I'm scared for my children. I'm scared for my grandchildren. I'm afraid of where our country is headed. These socialists are ruining our country. Pastor, what can be done? What can we do? This one world, global, unifying template that they just talk about every single day. Hey, folks, listen. That template fits your Bible to a T. It fits your Bible to a T. Every time you hear one of them talking about our global society, every time you hear one of them talk about getting together and all getting along and everybody having a world government and a world idea, and you hear this term governance being thrown around and bantered around, this one world global unifying template fits the world described in the last days. In your Bible, it fits it to a T. Just as the men of Shinar of the city of Babel sought to build a tower to heaven to unite and rebel against God. Satan will once again, according to the Bible, try to unite the world to stand against and rebel against God when our Savior returns. Folks, don't you find it amazing? Back here at Babel, they did battle against the moon god. God did battle against the moon god, against the devil. Hey, when Jesus comes back, what nations take the crescent moon? Are you listening to me? What nations surround Israel right there and are out for Israel's destruction? I'm telling you, folks, the stage is set. They got their religion. They got their religion from back here. The devil just, when Muhammad came along, the devil just put on a new dress. The old harlot just put on a new dress. That's all she did. That's all she did. The old harlot of Babylon just put on a new dress. And so the same battle, the same struggle, it's coming just as sure as you and I are standing here. We've read the prophets of the Old Testament. We have studied what the New Testament says about the Lord coming back. We see in the Old Testament prophets, those men all name the names of the countries that will dare, just as Babylon dared to stand in the face of God. We read in the Old Testament and the New Testament the very names of the nations that will dare to stand in the face of Jesus Christ when he comes back. And just as they were defeated in Babylon, they will be defeated when Jesus comes back. We're watching our country go down to destruction. We're watching our country fall apart. We're watching these progressive liberals tear our country apart. Well, my friend, let me tell you that the devil's plan failed at Babylon, and it's going to fail when Jesus returns. I know it's discouraging. I know you're nervous. I know you're troubled. I know you can't understand why these people are trying to do this to our nation. I've had people ask, and I've heard it on TV, and Glenn Beck asks it all the time, where's George Washington today? Where's Thomas Jefferson today? Where's Samuel Adams? Where's Ben Franklin? Let me give you something to think about. Just think about this, folks. When the world needed a Moses, God prepared one. Right? When the world needed an Apostle Paul, God prepared one. When the world needed a Savonarola, God prepared one. When the world needed a Martin Luther, God prepared one. When the world needed a George Whitefield, God prepared one. I'll tell you something, folks. When the world needed an English Bible that the world could read, God called 72 men back 400 years ago. God called 72 men and put all 72 of them at Cambridge University in England at the same time. And your King James Bible was birthed out of that union. When God needed a Ronald Reagan, God had a Ronald Reagan. When God needed a Calvin Coolidge to fix the mess that Woodrow Wilson did. When God needed a Warren G. Harding to fix the disaster, God had a Warren G. Harding. And we look around at our world today and we say, where's the Thomas Jefferson today? Where's the Ronald Reagan today? Can I give you something to think about? Maybe the reason we have none is because it's time for the final showdown. Maybe we don't have one because this thing's winding down. The final showdown has been in the book all along the way. The problem is we haven't read it and we don't have a clue about what's coming. I tell you folks, the more I study this and the more I read this and the more I look at what's going on in our world today, I get so excited sometimes I can't hardly sit still. Jesus is coming again. Maybe there's no one standing up because the day of the Lord is at hand. Maybe there's no one standing up because the stage is set. The pieces are all in place. Like never before, like never in any other time in the history of mankind, the whole world is structured for the master manipulator to put his incarnation on the scene, to try once again what he tried to do in the plain of Shinar 4,000 years ago. I want to serve notice on you folks. Our brave young men and women who died defending the freedoms of this nation did not die in vain. Freedom is never free. But freedom is worth dying for. And so far, we're still free men. So far. Brethren, the devil's got a plan. But don't worry. You read this book, you'll see God's got a plan. And when you read this book, you're going to realize and understand that what is taking place and all this freedom and dying for freedom and standing for the truth, understand it. There was one who went to the cross one day to buy your freedom. And when he did, it cost him his life. Freedom is never free. And the truth will set you free. Dear friend, listen to me. Don't you believe the devil's lie. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Right here's your truth. Believe the truth of God.